Hi everyone, this is the May 26th Intuitive Guidance Psychic Podcast, and I am Dana Marie. Thank you so much for listening today, and for those of you who are new to this podcast, allow me to introduce myself. I am Dana Marie, as I said. I am a professional intuitive / psychic medium / clairvoyant / tarot reader all across the metaphysical board, doing this kind of work, serving those who are looking for guidance for nearly two decades. You can find me on my website, which is intuitivedana.com, and I'm also on bestamericanpsychics.com under New York State. Anyhow, first and foremost, I would like to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for the outpouring of love and concern and sympathy and condolences and friendships since the last podcast I did a week ago today, when I announced that my beloved kitty companion Maggie made her transition. And I still can't believe it's been a week. It's been kind of eerie, I guess, not having her around. But I've been getting signs lately that I feel that Kitty doesn't want me to be Kitty-less for too long. You never know. I might be having a new kitty companion around here sooner than expected. I believe Maggie will be more than okay with that. And in fact, I'll be getting her remains, her cremated remains, tomorrow or Friday. And instead of doing the ritual in the garden that I talked about, I was thinking about just putting up a little shrine here in my studio with her remains in a box, a picture or two of Maggie in a little corner here, as a shrine, as a dedication, whatever you want to call it. And you might think, well, why all the big whoop-de-doo over a cat? Well, just briefly, you know, Maggie was no ordinary feline. I mean, I believe she was very psychic and very intuitive herself. She lived for close to 21 years. And like I mentioned last week, you know, we had our ups and downs and peaks and valleys and highs and lows and a lot of fond memories, although things were, you know, kind of tense towards the end because it was the end of her life, so, you know, that's a totally different story. But I still have the fond memories even still. And again, I thank you so much for, you know, showing your support on Facebook, on my Facebook page, via Twitter, the emails, the phone calls. I mean, wow, you would think that I lost, like, my own child if I had any kids, but I guess Maggie was like a kid to me. And she'll be missed. She'll be very, very missed. But not so much the pre-dawn screaming in my ear. That was a little irritating. I'm like, Maggie, if you're going to send a new kitty pal, make sure that she's a little bit on the silent side from Mommy, please. Anyhow, let us continue. This is the regularly scheduled podcast. I record these podcasts twice a month only. So, we're going to look at, for the spiritual topic, heaven and earth. Then I have a reading request for Molly. Then I have some upcoming psychic events. Next, I have a reading request for Vivian, and today's message from Spirit, an angelic makeover. I decided to talk about heaven and earth from a spiritual perspective rather than the old, well, I shouldn't say old, but more or so the old-fashioned way of looking at heaven and earth from the biblical viewpoint and allow me to explain. This isn't really about religion so much. It's about our connection to the divine, our access to God from within, which is really heaven in and of itself. To me, heaven is just as present and now and here as breathing or living. I believe that heaven is source, heaven is the spirit realm, heaven is the essence of God, and not some far out, far away place that we have to wait for and get approval to get to when we die. I mean, we've all were raised in, well, I guess most of us, depending on who you are and your background, of course. Those of us who were raised in the more of the traditional Christian, Catholic background or upbringing, we were told to believe that you can only get to heaven, A, if you were a good girl or a good boy, you went to church every Sunday, you read your Bible, and then you can only be redeemed if God allowed you to get into heaven when you die. Or else you have to go to hell, hellfire and brimstone, where the devil lives and is hot and furious and whatever. Okay, yeah, that's how I grew up. And I went to a Catholic school, and it was force-fed down my throat for eons, it seemed. And then I grew up. And I'm not knocking really Christianity, I'm not knocking Catholicism per se. I mean, I have a lot of friends and family members who are devout followers of Christ and who are devout Catholics. But for me, especially, I believe that heaven is much closer to earth than any of us can ever imagine. It's just a matter of how you see it, how you see yourself, and how you live your life, living by the golden rule, having faith, that you can have heaven pretty much here, now, and you don't necessarily have to wait until you die to get there. Heaven is established just by everything that we do, what we look at, what we see. And I know that earth, okay, I believe that hell is on earth, to be honest with you. With people doing things, you know, violence and stealing and cheating, and you have poverty, you have people starving all over the world. I mean, that's pretty much hell on earth, if you want to go there. But even still, we are spiritual beings having human experiences here on this planet. And we can change all of those so-called negative experiences into something more positive, into something that's more, like I said, the true essence of God, by showing compassion, by expressing love to one another, by doing good deeds, by being of service, just by showing respect for one another. And that's how you really get to heaven now. And that's how we can establish that connection and maintain it and keep it going. So here we are, where we are the ones who must begin believing that what we want for ourselves, our wellness, our success, our abundance, our faith, our health, all of that, if we can just put our energies and our focus into that in a way in which serves humanity and serves God primarily, then that's how heaven becomes tangible, it becomes real, it becomes part of our daily lives, every single day in the here and now. We're so much more closer to heaven in terms of expressing that, to experience that, And again, you know, you can read a Bible or whatever sacred text that calls to you. You have a chosen deity, whether it's God, Goddess, Allah, Yahweh. And that's fine. I highly commend that. But what I'm talking about here is this belief that heaven is just so far away and so far out there, and that we can only get there by approval. I believe that really does a disservice, because then we're not really experiencing God now on earth. We're not really experiencing the divine on earth. And really, I have a feeling that God never meant for us to be so far disconnected from heaven that we just end up suffering here on earth. I believe that whoever wrote the sacred texts long ago, centuries ago, thousands of years ago, just came up with that. Just saying, well, you know, you want to have paradise in the afterlife? Okay, then you got to do this, and do this. I mean, who says that, you know, there's conditioning involved when it comes to having any kind of personal relationship with the divine? I mean, who put up these conditions and rules? All I know is that if you at least live your life to the fullest without hurting anyone, and that you do good deeds and you honor and respect your fellow man, and you live by the golden rule, you know, do unto others, then your life can totally turn around for the better. And having faith, of course. You must have faith in some sort of divine essence and spirit. And that's how you can have heaven in your life now. And I'm not saying that life is going to become, oh, this all, you know, rainbows and and roses and peaches and cream, and you're never ever going to have a problem ever again. That's not what I'm saying. Because life is still life on this planet. So we are going to go through crises and predicaments and situations and problems. But you still have heaven. You still have heaven now on this earth. In your life, right now. And again, it doesn't require physical death just to get to heaven. Sure, when you die, you'll go to, your soul goes back to spirit. That's one thing. But to experience heaven now doesn't require for you to make transition. You can transform your life by experiencing heaven now. Changing your attitude, okay? Change the attitude about that. And you'll see a remarkable difference in your life. I basically talked about this on Journey into the Light radio show a few days ago. And I probably wasn't as clear about it then as I am now because, well, then again, this is not a radio show. This is a podcast. But it's basically the same thing. I actually talked about personal relationships with God, which is a little bit different. But even still, it's all relevant. And it connects. So, think about that. See how it resonates with you. And again, this isn't about religion. I'm not telling you not to be Catholic or not to be Christian or not to be this or not to be that. You could be anything you want to be. But can you imagine if we can just uplift this world by acknowledging and embracing heaven as already here. Whew. Wow. That's major. Very major. Okay. So that was this podcast's discussion, Heaven and Earth. And if you would like to comment on the topic for today, you can send an email to podcast@intuitivedana.com. You can also connect with me via Twitter and Facebook, Dana333444. And I do have a fan page on Facebook called Dana Marie's Intuitive Guidance. You can join up, sign up, however you want to do it. You can also leave feedback on iTunes as well for this podcast. Okay. Alrighty. Next, we have a reading request for Molly. Molly. Born in 1977. Her question is, or her questions are, do you see me falling in love in the future and having more kids? Molly's in Canada, but there's something about Arizona and the Native American culture that's calling to her. Well, Molly, thank you so much for your question. Well, you know, I do sense that you're heading towards, I believe, a reawakening of your life's purpose. Somehow you're going to start seeing things in a different perspective, perhaps a different point of view. But I do get that you're just coming out of this dry period in which you weren't dating much, or maybe you were indoors a lot, and you're starting to go out and about again. You know, summer's going to be here in a month. It's starting to warm up now. The days are getting longer. So start going out and becoming a little bit more social. You know, go to parks. Go to different events, free concerts in your area. And just not so much for falling in love, you know, in terms of romance, but to give yourself a break. To get yourself out there and to get yourself situated with people again, socially and, you know, outdoors, out of the house. Giving you an example is my situation. I mean, you know, I haven't worked in a traditional full-time job for a little over a month, so I've been home a little bit more, or a lot more. You know, I was taking the subway to work every day, and commuting, and being in an office, and all of that. And I don't really miss it, but but then again, I can't stay home in here and just be like, you know, like a social hermit, if you will. So I go out, whether with friends or on my own, I still go out. I go to movies, you know. If I go to movies before noon in my area, it's only $6. Helps me to save money. And just doing different things as much as I can, you know, as long as it's within my budget. But for you, Molly, it's just a matter of going through this regenerating process, this process of reawakening, which is allowing you to, first of all, I believe that you've gone through quite a bit, so it's good that you're purging a lot of that old energy right now, and you're allowing more peace to reside within your life. So this is why I'm strongly encouraging you to, you know, start getting out there and being part of society, if you will. You know, do different things. Go to different events. Get involved in different activities. Even do some volunteer work if you're able to. Just so that you can get yourself surrounded by people. You need to be around people. And that could open up the opportunities for you to meet people, meet someone in terms of a long-term committed relationship. I'm not getting anything about more kids right now. I mean, if anything, you just may have one more child before the age of like 37, 38, at least. At least one more. So we're talking at least a few more years from now. At least one more that I can sense here. A male energy. But like I said, you don't need to stay home and stay inside and, you know, stay separated from the rest of the world. You don't need to do that in order to, you know, again, just being part of, getting involved, getting active in your life. And if somehow you can spend time during the summer near bodies of water, such as lakes, oceans, streams, ponds, however you want to call it, that might be beneficial to you. And in terms about Arizona and Native American culture, if you've never been to Arizona, see about, you know, planning a vacation to go there. Go to Sedona for a few days. Go to Flagstaff. Go to Tucson. Go to Phoenix. If that's what's calling to you, you know, thinking about it from home is nice and everything, but, you know, if you're able to financially, why not make plans to visit Arizona for a few days and check out the culture, check out how the people are, check out the, you know, the communities there. Or you can, you know, meet up with people who live in Arizona through different websites and message boards and asking, so, you live in Arizona, so tell me, I'm in Canada and I'm thinking about going there for a visit. Is there anything you can recommend or any place I should check out and, you know, what's it like and blah, blah, blah. So become a little bit more proactive. If this is, you know, if that part of the United States has been calling to you, particularly the Native American cultures, you know, connect with people who already live there. See about making plans to visit that area and see how it feels. So you can't experience it unless you feel it. And I sense that you have to feel it. In order to feel it, you have to be there, physically be there. Okay? And you never know who you might find when you do. Okay, Molly? So thank you very much for your question. And if you out there would like to have a free reading on the Intuitive Guidance Psychic Podcast, send first names or initials or anonymous or alias and your complete date of birth, month, day, and year, and your one question to podcast@intuitivedana.com. Typically, I only answer two questions per month. I only answer two questions per podcast, and I record this podcast twice a month. So if you're looking for a quick answer right now and can't wait for your turn on this podcast, I can highly recommend that you call the Journey into the Light radio show whenever I'm on, and I'm going to talk about that in a bit. Or you can also reserve a private consultation with me through my website, intuitivedana.com. And you can have me one-on-one, by phone, by Skype. All readings are recorded just for you, either by audio cassette or digital download. And we cover everything that's going on with you, your situations, your energies. We cover everything. And it's well worth the price. So if that interests you, I'm available now during the day. As long as I'm still out of work or unemployed or on unemployment, whatever you want to call it, and evenings for a consultation. Okay. I have some events coming up. Oh, first I have to drink some water. Very good. Have some events coming up. Tomorrow, I believe, May 27th, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, I'll be appearing as guest on the Best American Psychics show on blogtalkradio.com, hosted by my friend Shay Parker. And I ran into Shay and Allison Hayes, the rock girl, on Saturday in Voorhees, New Jersey, at the Mind Body Spirit Expo, which featured Doreen Virtue. So, hi Shay and hi rock girl. So, I'm going to be on talking about spiritual things, I guess, and giving free readings if there's enough time. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Best American Psychics, all one word. This is tomorrow, May 27th, which is my dad's birthday. At 6 p.m. Eastern Time, I will be there as guest, and looking forward to reaching out and communicating with all of the listeners. So put that down in your calendar. Next, speaking of Blog Talk Radio, I have been a recurring guest on Journey into the Light, hosted by Michael Long, and I'm already booked for 4 Mondays next month, June, at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. I was recently a guest on Journey into the Light, on Monday actually, May 24th, and I'm going to post a link to that show on my website under extras or events on my website, either or both. But I will definitely be back on Journey into the Light, as I said, for 4 Mondays in June, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. And you can access the show by going to blogtalkradio.com/Journey into the Light. And that's also all one word. blogtalkradio.com/Journey into the Light. And Journey into the Light, just like Best American Psychics, both really excellent shows on Blog Talk Radio featuring the best of the best when it comes to psychics, mediums, intuitives, in the metaphysical community. So definitely worth checking out. Okay. Next, on Saturday, June 19th, I will once again volunteer my services to give readings at the New York Edgar Cayce Center Holistic Fair. This is for the Summer Solstice Extravaganza. And the Edgar Cayce Center of New York is located at... where is it located? West 30th Street between 6th and 7th Avenue. No, actually, between 7th and 8th. Ooh, yee. So for more information about the fair, you can go to arenyc.org, arenyc.org, or you can call 212-691-7690. I'm not sure if I'm going to be there the entire day, or morning, or afternoons. I was invited to partake in a separate event on the same day, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to juggle both. But for now, I am definitely confirmed to appear at the ARE of New York's Holistic Fair, Saturday, June 19th. Go to arenyc.org or call 212-691-7690 for more information. And lastly, the Enchanted Studio Psychic Fair is taking place on Sunday, June 27th, from 12:30 to 6 p.m. The address is 281 East 205th Street, Bronx, New York. You can call 917-686-7192, or you can visit NorthNYCLightworkers.net, which is the website having all the information about the psychic fair. I will be there, so is Michelle Swan, Damian Ferguson, who is an astrologer. Michelle Swan does tarot. Robert Alvarez does goddess tarot. Me, doing intuitive readings. Reverend Barbara Dominic, who is a Reiki master. Katie Weaver, who is a holistic nutritionist. And much more. It's not a big psychic fair. It's a mini psychic fair, but even still. These are people that I trust, that I have worked with, have been around, that I know, and excellent people to get readings from. The cost for sessions is $20 for 15 minutes and $40 for 30 minutes, whether you're getting a Reiki attunement or a private reading here at the Psychic Fair. Again, this is the Enchanted Studio Psychic Fair, Sunday, June 27th, from 12:30 to 6, 281 East 205th Street in the Bronx, close to major transportation lines, very easy to get to from Midtown Manhattan, and call 917-686-7192 for more information. Alrighty. And in terms of the free gatherings, we're not having one for June because of the psychic fair. And as far as July and August are concerned, the studio, the Enchanted Studio, is on summer break. So we may still have gatherings, but perhaps outdoors. And maybe even joining with other local metaphysical groups to for outings and things. So I'll definitely have that on my Facebook and Twitter profile pages as we begin to set up some dates in advance. Alrighty. Next, I have a reading request for Vivian. Vivian was born May 8th, 1985. Vivian, happy belated birthday to you. Asking about Miroslav, born 10/22/86. And her concern is about her ex and her ex's mother. She wants to know, meaning Vivian wants to know if she should forget her ex, even though they have a kid together. He seems to be active in the child's life. Vivian is not sure how she feels about him, blah, 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 blah. And wants to know what she can use in terms of advice. Well, this is a very tangled web, Vivian, and I'm sorry you've had to go through this, especially with a baby. You know, it's really weird, but it seems as if that Miroslav is not totally out of your life. Even though you might think that he doesn't love you, you two are really compatible. And very compatible. You two kind of balance one another, you and Miroslav, believe it or not. And I have a feeling that the only... It's not so much Miroslav who's, you know, the bad guy here, or the heavy. I would have to say it's the influence of his mother. I believe she's very... I would have to say conniving. I believe she's very controlling. You can say that Miroslav could be a bit of a mama's boy, so what she says is golden. And, you know, and I'm not saying he's, you know, so naive that he shouldn't, that he believes everything that his mother says, but, well, it's kind of that way. But the two of you, it's a shame that he just can't really grow up and see that what's really important here is that he has his own family. Why is he still hanging on to mom? Okay, and you didn't mention if there's a father figure here, so I'm beginning to wonder if, you know, if Miroslav is somehow disconnected from his dad, or there's something going on there. but I believe that his mother has a lot of residual anger towards his father, Miroslav's father, and she takes it out on him, she takes it out on anyone around her son. So there's a lot of drama there to begin with, drama in that household. And all it requires is really for Miroslav to grow up and say, hey mom, I am a grown man, I have a child, and you know, I need to be involved in his life more, and I do happen to care for Vivian, and I do happen to care for her needs, and I want to make sure that she's taken care of. You know, I don't think that she's this big, bad, evil witch that you make her out to be. What's going on here? So there's a lot of control issues here with the mother and Miroslav. She doesn't want to lose him. She's angry at his father. You know, the whole nine yards. So I wouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, no pun intended, and I'm not referring to your child. I wouldn't necessarily give up on Miroslav just yet, Vivian. I believe he does have some growing up to do, and I believe in time he'll eventually get to that point, but you don't have to put your life on hold to wait for him. For now, you can just continue doing what you can for your child. You know, making sure at least that Miroslav is involved, you know, making sure that he gets diapers and formula and whatever else for the baby, and I believe that he already does that. And, I mean, there's nothing really that you can do right now to convince Miroslav of anything. He really has to stand up to his mother. That's the key. He has to stand up to her and tell her, listen, I'm a grown man and I have a family here. What are you doing controlling my life? I believe that he has always cared for you, and I believe that he does love you, but he has never been shown how to love or how to convey his feelings. And again, there's something about how he was raised, whether there was a father in the home or not, but his mother is very cold, very stoic, very conniving, very controlling. So that's all he's really known. He's never really known how to be loving and accepting and you know, engaging his feelings somehow and showing his feelings to another person. Okay, I believe that he has loved you, and I believe that he still does, but it's what he grew up with. And that's all he's ever known. So it doesn't really change much, and maybe he'll never ever change, but I believe that he will. It's not going to happen immediately. It's definitely not going to happen overnight. And don't put your life on hold. Continue raising your child. You know, if you feel the need to see other people when you're ready to date, that's entirely up to you. You know, especially if Miroslav isn't ready to grow up and confront his mother on these issues. And I'm also getting for you, Vivian, I don't know if you're planning to move or if you're looking at apartments or something, a bigger home to, you know, for your family. I get there's a change in environment, or there's a change something with the home, maybe a change with a job, maybe you're getting a new job. But from what I'm also sensing here is whatever you do, you're still getting support from your loved ones, from your family, your immediate family, from your friends. You're at least getting a lot of emotional support from that, and that makes a huge difference for you, that you are receiving emotional support. If not from Miroslav, then you still have people who care. You know, and they show you that support. Miroslav doesn't know how. He's lived in a refrigerator life, you know, that coldness for, you know, and we know where that's coming from. So don't worry about him per se. You know, you might have to leave him to his own devices to let him heal. The mother, that's a different issue entirely. That the mother has nothing to do with you. Miroslav's mother really doesn't have anything to do with you. That's between her and Miroslav. Leave them to their own devices. When Miroslav is ready to grow up and be a real man, or as we say in this country, he mans up and takes responsibility and accountability for his life and for his own family, which is you and the child, then he'll just move away from that coldness and stoic demeanor of his mother, okay? And if she hates you, oh well. Whatever. You just can't take it personally. Remember, you know, who she is and what she's all about. You know, she probably hates herself more, and that's very unfortunate. Okay? So thank you, Vivian, for your question. And again, if you would like to have your question answered for a free reading on the Intuitive Guidance Psychic Podcast, send your first name, complete dates of birth, and your one question to podcast@intuitivedata.com. Alrighty. Our spirit message for today's podcast is an angelic makeover. The angels are available to us at all times, every minute, every second, every hour, all the time, continuously. They are here for our guidance, they are here for our protection, and they're here to support us in things or you know, to help us with our lives, to help us with our highest good in our best interest. But the angels cannot do, the angels just can't do things for us unless we give them permission, okay, because of free will. Like, unless we're in very, 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 very dire situations, and the angels do, then they get involved. Okay, so that's one thing. But for the most part, if it's something really conscious or subconscious, and we know that we need help, then the angels can help us, but they still need to have our permission. An angelic makeover means that there are times in our lives in which we just have to simply vacuum away fear and giving our energies and our attitudes a much-needed facelift. You could call upon Archangels Michael and Raphael to remove any fear-based energy or thinking or attitudes or whatever from us, ourselves, our livelihoods, our situations, our surroundings, and everybody else involved, to vacuum away fear. Fear could come from, fear is the opposite of faith. Fear or worry is the absence of faith. Okay? So by vacuuming away that fear by the angels, it's like giving ourselves an angelic makeover. So whenever you feel stuck, whenever you feel you're in tight situations that you really can't get out of, when you feel as if that the world is just passing you by and you're still on the same highway, ask the angels to vacuum away any residual fears. So it allows you to move forward, to give yourself an angelic makeover, and see how your life really transitions after that. And speaking of angels, something just came to mind that happened when my friend Yvonne and I were looking for the Virtua Center in Voorhees on Saturday. We went by train to South Jersey. We got off in Lindenwold, and we decided, we wanted to take a cab from the Lindenwold station to the Virtua Center for the expo. So we get out of the station, we see a row of taxis, and we went to the first taxi. And Yvonne had said, "I'm not sure about this one." And I said, come on, it can't be that far away. And it really wasn't from the train station, but we didn't know where we were going. So we piled into this taxi, and we told the guy the address, and he proceeds to drive us to this industrial office building, but the parking lot was totally empty. It didn't look like a skating zone or the Flyers skating zone, which the Virtua Center is also known for, and it looked like nobody was there. And the driver insisted that we were at the right place, and we were like, "No, sir." And he was Asian, he was Asian, and I don't have anything against Asians, but there was definitely a language communication barrier going on. So he was very insistent that we were at the right place, and we were telling him no, because this is a major place. This should have been, like, people milling about and an empty parking lot. Like, what's wrong with this picture? So we must have been arguing with this guy for maybe about, like, 4 or 5 minutes, disagreeing with him. And all of a sudden, this car pulls up alongside us. And it was driven by a nice young lady. And she was just as lost as we were. And she too was looking for the Virtuous Center because she was going to the same expo that Yvonne and I were going to. So I was like, "Hi, are you looking for the expo? Can we ride with you? We can all go together." And she was like, "Yeah, sure." So we paid the taxi guy because he was so convinced we were at the right place. We're like, "Okay, yeah, here's your money. Go by." And then we got into this young lady's car. Yvonne has one of those iPhone things, and she has a little built-in GPS unit or something. So to make a long story short, we found the Virtuous Center, and we got to the expo with this young lady. And I know her name was Judy, and unfortunately, I never got Judy's email address or phone number. So Judy, if you listen to psychic podcasts of any kind, and you come across this, and you hear this, please get in touch with me, because I know I thanked you, we thanked you from the bottoms of our hearts, but I just want to be sure that I acknowledge you and I bless you for helping us out. That was an angelic moment when Judy pulled up in her car and gave us a lift and we all got to the expo safely. That was an angelic moment. And Yvonne and I, we looked at each other, we were like, "That was Michael," or "That was Shamwell." We were able to find the place. We were like, "Angels, please help us." And we got here. And I know Doreen Virtue also talked about not so much a similar kind of story, but she also has some sort of transportation issue getting from where she was to the expo herself. And I know she mentioned it on her Facebook page, and she talked about it on Saturday at her talk. And that was like, wow! All these angelic moments. But anyway, vacuum away fear. Give yourself an angelic makeover. Because you deserve it. Okay? Alrighty. So we've come to the end of another broadcast. Or podcast, I should say. I'll have another one sometime in early June or so. Twice a month is the podcast. Continue sending in your questions. And continue supporting your podcast. And I'd love to hear from you. So until next time, peace, many blessings, love and light to you. Namaste.